Good morning. We will have a short reading, two verses from John chapter 8, starting in verse 31 and verse 32. You'll be familiar with these verses. You may not even need to turn to them. I'll read from the New American Standard Bible. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free."
Very short scripture reading, but I knew Dan would read it with feeling. And that's the point. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just a few words mean a lot, don't they? This morning I wanted to tell you about another one of my coworkers in China, I guess. I just like to include these stories sometimes in our lessons. He was kind of a funny guy, and he was full of what I call nonsense knowledge. And for the sake of not identifying people and embarrassing them at some point in life, I'll just call him Kevin Michigan, or Michigan Kevin. And Michigan Kevin, I call him the king of nonsense knowledge. I don't know if you're familiar with the customs in China, but it's very common to spit on the ground or the sidewalk or any other place, unless you're in Hong Kong, in which you could receive a 500 yuan fine for spitting on the sidewalk. But in China, like I said before, normally they will fine you if you don't spit on the sidewalk. It's kind of like expected of you. And for the students, we often had to clarify things like the difference between a roof and a ceiling. Roof's on the outside, ceiling's on the inside, and the floor is on the inside and the ground is on the outside. However, in the classrooms, they treat the floor just like they treat the ground. And we'd have to hand them a tissue and say, please don't do that in your foreign teacher's classroom. Now, of course, out in the hallway that linked the classrooms, there would be no one with tissues. It would just be spit on the floor and whatever. You don't need to see all these images in your mind. But this crazy guy from Michigan would go out and lay down in the hallway during break time. And, you know, so obviously I've illustrated that the floor is not clean, not healthy, and this crazy guy would lay down. The first time I ever met him, he came in and he was getting ready to meet the boss, and I said, maybe you ought to lose the bandana. And so he pulled his bandana off and stuck it in his pocket, but he wore like a biker bandana most of the time. And so at least he listened to me occasionally. I don't know. But he'd go into the classroom. He never had a lesson plan. He was just going to wing it every time, you know. So his poor students, they never got much but silliness. And so what else should I tell you about this? Well, he had a wealth of knowledge. He was a smart guy, had studied psychology and so forth. And he didn't use any of that on himself, unfortunately. And he was mostly full of useless knowledge. I would always, and my students knew that he was from Michigan, and that's part of the United States, barely. And, I mean, part of the United States. And I would always say, no, he's from Canada. He's from Canada. And I'd say, ta bushi megwaren, ta sha janadaren. Not an American, he's a Canadian. I wouldn't claim him. And they knew it. But one day, Michigan Kevin surprised us all because somebody was really holding their side. Let's see, they were holding their left side and in terrible pain. And they said, oh, maybe I have appendicitis. And suddenly he pops out with a piece of knowledge. Oh, no, the appendix is on the other side. Wow. And I praised him. I said, seriously, Kevin, in all of that nonsense in your brain, you have one piece of useful information. I'm proud of you. You know, really proud of you. But, you know, truth is what the lesson is about today. And so we find truth in medical science. We find truth in geographical science. Truth in the natural sciences of the world. But they don't equal the truth of God and his supernatural science, of course. We have Isaac Newton as an example. And there is only a core of truth in the Apple story. That the apple fell and he noticed something called gravity. But of course we understand that people knew about gravity long before Isaac Newton. For example, Samson created the first house of pancakes when he pushed the pillars down and several thousand people were crushed inside the Philistine temple. There's a geographical truth that is good to know. You can navigate In my home state of Kansas, the Kansas River is known as a navigable stream, meaning no landowner can prevent you from going down his section of the river because it's a, quote, a navigable stream. So you can get on Shunganunga Creek in Topeka, Kansas with your canoe and go over to the Kansas River, go right on in. You can take the Kansas River down to Lawrence, pick up your canoe, go around the dam, get back in the Kansas River, go all the way to Kansas City, meet the Missouri River, take the Missouri River all the way out toward St. Louis, Missouri, and pretty soon you meet the Mississippi River. You can take the Mississippi River all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, and you can then choose to go through the Panama Canal or take the Atlantic Ocean. So you could kind of go anywhere in the world from Topeka, Kansas. That's geographical knowledge, navigational knowledge. You can carry your canoe around the dams, catch a ship at the Gulf, and go wherever you want to go. Dock the canoe in Panama and find a sturdy ship, though, is my suggestion. Historical truth is good to keep us from repeating the mistakes of the past. We know that there was a battle and Abimelech went to Thebes and they camped against the city. They captured it. He wanted to go on in and burn the city with fire. He got too close to the wall and a woman threw an upper millstone and crushed his head. Now, you wouldn't want to repeat something like that, would you, in your military? So David, when he had sent Uriah into battle to be killed, and the message would come back, the man that was speaking to the messenger said, "Now, when you tell David the message," and he says, "Why did you get so close to the wall? Don't you remember what happened about the millstone falling?" And he said, "Well, you just remind him or let him know for sure that Uriah, his servant, the Hittite, is dead," which was the goal, unfortunately, of that situation. But if we want to avoid repeating the mistakes of history, we need to know our history. So historical truth is very important too. But of all of this, supernatural truth is the best. Supernatural truth is not a masquerade. It's never wrong. It's never false. Supernatural truth coming from above, coming from God, is the only way that we really understand God deeply. We can see the evidence of God around us, but to really understand what He wants of us and how to worship Him and how to serve Him and how to be His children, we have to get that from supernatural truth. And it's the best kind because there's no falsity within it. Supernatural truth is greater. Supernatural truth is from the mind of God. It is something worth knowing, something worth following. Jesus is that truth. He brought truth from outside the natural world. Every prophet of God who spoke the truth was bringing information from God, a supernatural truth, but Jesus is the embodiment of that truth. He is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. He is the one who fulfilled the law of Moses. So God set up these prophets to speak truth. He incorporated the law of Moses to make a covenant with people where they might learn to serve Him. And then Jesus comes and He's greater than both. He is the fulfillment of it all. And He can say of Himself, truly, He is truth. He is truth. Only good things come from God. God gives us only the things that we really need or deserve, and often doesn't give us the things that we ought to have as punishment, but overlooks many things. And James in chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." God is not three-dimensional, but it has to be put in terms that we can understand. God is everywhere we want to be. Everywhere, maybe places we don't want to be. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But so that we can understand it, it shows us of something coming down to us, something coming down to a lesser knowledge from a greater knowledge, information from that which is above us. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. No human being can give a gift like this. But we must be warned that some natural truth is a lie. As James continues in his letter, and he didn't put the chapters there, and over in chapter 3, 13 through 17, he says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder and every evil thing, jealousy, all of these demonic things are coming from a wisdom that didn't come from God. It's either originating in the mind of Satan, or in the mind of mankind, or in the mind of mankind influenced by Satan. But God's truth is good seed. God's truth produces good fruit. It's the only thing that God can bear. God cannot bear something bad. God cannot produce something bad. God is only good. God is only right. God is only true. God is only love. He's not jealousy and hate and anxiety and troubles. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed, whose fruit is righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Selfish ambition and jealousy. On the list of things from earthly, natural, demonic, human wisdom is exactly what killed Abel. Cain and his jealousy and his envy killed his brother. It's also exactly what put Jesus the Christ on the cross. In Mark 15, 9 through 11, Pilate answered them saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Now, of course, you remember Barabbas was a man who was involved in insurrection against probably the Romans, I would suppose, and he had killed a person, and it wasn't necessarily considered an act of war, but it was more or less considered murder. So here Barabbas, a murderer, was chosen above the Son of God. Now, that's the devil's wisdom. Amen. That wisdom that chose Barabbas over Jesus, that's called earthly, natural, and demonic, according to James. Some people will tell a lie and others swear to it. You ever see a couple of people and you know, hey, you know, I know how to tell when that guy's lying. Anytime his lips are moving, he's lying. And he's got a buddy that will swear to everything he says, you know. So one will lie and the other will swear to it. In Matthew 27, 13 through 14, then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was amazed. Well, this, of course, corresponds to the book of Isaiah and his prophecy saying that as a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he would not open his mouth. And Jesus never opened his mouth in regard to defending himself against any false accusation. Now, if he were asked, "Are you a king?" he would say, "Sure, yeah, I'm a king." He would answer to a question that made sense, that wasn't necessarily a false accusation. He would speak the truth, but he wouldn't address the false accusations. And the governor was quite amazed. The governor sees himself as someone with the power to free people or to cause them to be put to death, to free people or cause them to be imprisoned, to make someone's life easier, make someone's life hard, or to make someone's life end. And the governor is true. He is in that position. And he doesn't understand why Jesus doesn't answer these charges against him. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Matthew 27, 19, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." Pilate was being amazed by what he was seeing in Jesus. He could see that this probably was not a man who was guilty. He could see that people had turned him over to Pilate because of envy. He could see his wife coming and saying, "Be careful, this is a righteous man. I dreamed about him last night." But real truth does exist, even if some people don't believe it. In John 18, 33 through 36, it says, "Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' And Jesus answered, 'Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?'" That's kind of an interesting answer, isn't it? He answers it with a question like Jesus often does. Did others tell you about me? It's almost sarcastic, but not quite. It's still respectful, and Jesus asks it in such a way that it would produce an answer. Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? And Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. In our Wednesday night class, we had studied the idea of the two swords and why they took a sword and why Malchus' ear was cut off and that kind of a little lesson about that. And Gary Ennis said, well, you know, it's just like this. The sword wasn't for defending the spiritual kingdom. The spiritual kingdom is never defended by the sword, but it's defended by God and by the truth and by the word of God. So he says, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. So Jesus was a king for sure. He was King of Kings and is. But his kingdom was not an earthly kingdom where the earthly, natural, demonic wisdom dwells and reigns. John 18, 37 through 38. Therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. Many people today and in those times were asking that same question, what is truth? Many people 1,000 years from now, if the Lord hasn't come yet, will still be asking that same question, what is truth? It's not really a bad question to ask. It's a great question to ask. Because once we ask that question, then maybe we will begin to seek the truth and to find it. It's a good philosophical question. What is truth? Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. So as my little note here says, Pilate got one thing right. Jesus was not guilty. But what is truth for each one of us? You know, we all grew up, many of us in different households. There might be a few brothers and sisters here. But we grew up in different households. We grew up under different parents. We grew up under different situations. And we all develop our own idea of what truth is. But all of those experiences are different. Yet, in the mind of God, there is a truth that never changes. Never changes. It's not different than it was yesterday. It won't be different tomorrow. The answer to what is truth will always be God's word, God's way, God's son. I've been doing a series of lessons. If you've noticed, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. So today we're still on that part. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is always the answer to that question. What is truth? Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Some people will tell a lie and let others suffer the consequences of the lie that they have told. It's interesting that these people who were knowingly making false accusations against Jesus. Now, in their mind, they were doing it for a good cause. They couldn't get anything on this guy. They'd been waiting and looking and watching, finding some way they could cause him to seem to be a lawbreaker and be put to death. Had to be a serious charge indeed. And so they justify it in their mind. In their mind, they say, well, look, we know he's guilty. Let's make up something. Let's hire somebody. Whatever we have to do to blaspheme against the truth, in order to get him to be put to death and let his blood be upon our children. Because they, in their mind, thought he was guilty. The thing that he was most guilty of in their mind was that they were jealous. They were envious of the attention that he was getting. Matthew 27, 24 through 26, when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all the people said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. Wow. Ouch. Sorry, kids. Then he released Barabbas for them, but having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Of course, thank God the remedy for this is that the blood is not on the children if they obey Jesus Christ. Like Peter said in Acts chapter 2, you know, that this is for all generations. This generation, if they're baptized into Christ, will have forgiveness of sins. And the future generations, if they're baptized into Christ, will also have forgiveness of sins. So their weird little oath really means nothing. But it was a really foolish thing to say. God's supernatural truth is still spoken here. If we had time, I'd go all the way to the end of the book of Ephesians, but I've cut it short for time's sake. Ephesians 2, 19 and following. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. That's truth, folks. Christ Jesus himself, truth being the cornerstone, life being the cornerstone, light being the cornerstone, salvation being the cornerstone, ransom from our sins being the all of the everything Jesus is the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 15, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. You are the pillar and support of the truth. We are here for the purpose of being the pillar and support of the truth. This is what God has made his church, not a building, but a people for his own possession. John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And of course, we know the story. John was born before Jesus, a few months. But yet John says Jesus existed before me because he's talking about his eternal existence with God. And all things that were made by him and through him and for him. And nothing was made without him. He existed before John. For his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. At the time of the writing of this book by John, the Gospel of John, Jesus was returned to the right hand of the Father, was in the bosom of the Father. But while he was here on the earth, he had explained God to us better than the prophets could do, better than Moses could do. Jesus came to show us God. God's supernatural truth is still spoken here. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles and prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint, that's us, supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, that's us, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. God's supernatural truth and supernatural love are still spoken here today. Ephesians 4:17 and following, so this I say, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now that initially happens when we begin to repent, understanding that God is God and that we are not, and that we are in sin and we need to die for our sins, and we'll be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, and he makes us something new. But it doesn't end there. It has to continue. The people that Paul is writing to in Ephesians are people who have already been baptized into Christ. Everyone being written to from the book of Romans chapter 1 through the book of Revelation chapter 22 are people who have already been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And he's talking to people like us, people who need to continue to be renewed, need to continue to be recreated as we let God transform us by the power of his truth. He says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. I've seen many congregations divided over personal anger. Somebody mad at somebody, and it lasts, and it grows, and it doesn't go away, and it gets worse, and it becomes a mountain that they keep tripping over, and they fall flat on their face. God gives you a timeline for your anger, amen? Don't let the sun go down on it, amen? Now stop. If you're angry at somebody, stop, amen? Get over it. Talk about it. Go to them in private. Work it out. Love them. Let God's work continue, amen? Because who's looking for an opportunity? The devil. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. I don't want to give him anything. How about you? I don't like that guy. God's supernatural truth is real. It is here in his book. It is here in our minds every time we think of his scriptures, and love in our hearts. Lived here, spoken here. That's our goal. Amen. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Talking about the expiry of the limit that God puts on our anger, like, get rid of it tonight. It reminds me of Tiago Nuno Osório Sanchez de Cruz, my friend from Portugal. And he had five children. And on his refrigerator, oh man, it was plastered with magnets and little drawings. And I said, wow, Tiago, what are you going to do when there's too many for your whole house? He says, all of these drawings have an expiration date. I said, what? Yeah, he said, they all have an expiration date. At one point, they're going to come down, you know. And that's the way it is with God. There's an expiration date on our time to be angry with each other. There's an expiration date on our time to walk in sin. There's an expiration date on our time to act like what Paul calls the behavior of the Gentiles. And to that, he meant the heathen people who were following false gods and their personal lusts and all kinds of human, natural, demonic wisdom. Ephesians 4:30 through 32, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. There it is again. There must be something in this lesson that keeps coming out. I didn't intend to put there, but is there someone out here who hasn't forgiven somebody? Because, wow, this just keeps coming out. Amen. I didn't do it. God put these words here. God's supernatural truth shines on us through Jesus. And we could also say shines through us onto others. Amen. If we're shining the light as we ought to be. Ephesians 5, 13 through 14. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. A walk without God can only rightly be called a walk of the dead. You want to look at the TV and see zombies? They're on there. But what about all the people who refuse God's truth? It's like the walking dead. We need to let them know. We need to be reminded that life without God is death. Awake, sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. John 1, 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Tai Chu Yo Dao, Dao Yi Shen Tong Zai. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he goes on to say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Jesus was greater than John, the immerser. And John was like Elijah. Jesus himself said, he is Elijah, if you'll accept it. And Jesus was greater than Moses, the giver of the law. On the Mount of Transfiguration, it was made very clear. Jesus was the truth to follow. He was the one to listen to. He was the one to emulate. He was the one to trust. This truth is for obeying, but you decide. 1 Peter 1:22 through 23. Since you have in obedience, Peter, writing to people who were already baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and gifted with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and looking forward to heaven if they stayed faithful. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring Word of God. The only thing that's going to last when the smoke all vanishes and the ashes all settle and God creates a new heaven and a new earth, the only thing that will last are those things that have followed or are the truth of God. Jesus is the truth that frees us. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And in John 8, 31 through 32, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Unfortunately for them, their response was, we've never been enslaved. We aren't slaves now. Who are you, and what are you talking about? Jesus was talking about a spiritual bondage. Jesus was talking about being in debt to Satan, enslaved by Satan, to do Satan's will. Jesus was talking about those who were dead in their sins and needed to be buried for the forgiveness of sins so that they could have everlasting life. and truly continue to follow him and truly be disciples of him, and the truth would continue to make them free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Natural truth guides us on the earth. We can get from Topeka, Kansas, down the Chungunga River to the Kansas River. We can get from the Kansas River to the Missouri River, from the Missouri River to the Mississippi River. And from there, you can either go the Atlantic Ocean or go through the Panama Canal and go to the Pacific. But supernatural truth leads us to a much greater place. It leads us to heaven. If anyone has a need to respond to this morning's lesson, we offer you the opportunity as we stand and sing.